Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke.
Took a long way to come here. Got a long way to go.
You might think that the number of biology majors who have gone into songwriting as a profession would be pretty small, and that may be, yet we've managed to have two people who fit that description in our performance studio in just the past couple of weeks.
We talked with Mark Arelli, holder of a master's degree in biology, on this show not too long ago. Caitlin Canty's biology work came as an undergraduate, but today the Vermont native is a Nashville-based singer-songwriter. She's worked with the likes of Wisconsin's Jeffrey Focalt, Peter Bradley Adams, and others.
Canty played a pair of shows in Oconomowoc last week, but joined us in the studio first to share a few songs, including this one from her 2015 album Reckless Skyline, a song called Get Up.
Took a long way to come here. Got a long way. Get up, get up, get up. No time to rest or run for cover. Get up, get up, get up before the road pulls you under.
Caitlin Canty, thank you so much. Great song.
Thank you very much.
That was Get Up from Reckless Skyline.
Yeah.
And welcome to Milwaukee. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you.
So how did a biology major from Vermont end up living the life of a singer or songwriter in Nashville?
Well, I went to college and I liked science, so that's what I majored in. I also really loved music. I never thought it was a real practical career. Still don't. But I loved it. And I worked for 5 years after college and I sang some backup in New York City and I played in the clubs that would have me, and I wrote more songs that I thought I could stand on, you know? And so, I don't know, I never really meant to be a musician. I just couldn't stand not making music.
Was there an epiphany moment when you said, okay, you know, I'm either going to do it or I'm not going to do it?
Yeah. I was 5 years in when I started. My first job right out of college was working for the Artist Den, which is a live music production company. So I got to, you know, learn the ropes of this odd music business and what a writer is and what a green room is and hang around artists and see what they were. But that was a good education. And then I started to work. I used my degree at a green consulting firm. At the time, we were working for Fortune 500. So I was working in a suit, in a cubicle, in a tall building in New York City, and, you know, going to a club in New York at night at Rockwood Music Hall to sing. It was a weird double life to be living. But I did hit a moment where I actually was up for a promotion and I quit. I just really felt like if I didn't give it a try, I never would do it. And that anniversary was 5 days ago, and it was 9 years anniversary.
Wow.
So I raise a glass on that one.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks.
So in the chronology of Caitlin Canty, there was a period where you were still in New York and you were
decade,
playing.
Decade,
okay.
Fact.
Oh,
yeah, a decade. But you know, your part of the country has a lot of my favorite corners to play in. I'm actually this is probably my fourth year coming to do a doubleheader in Oconomowoc at the Three Brothers Farm. It's a beautiful. It's a flower farm and a chicken farm, and the grandson of the original owner. I play in this beautiful old dairy barn that his grandfather built, and it's like it feels like a cathedral, a wooden cathedral out in the middle of this beautiful country.
So when you play a dairy barn, mm-hmm. a converted dairy barn, do you feel some kinship or some connection with growing up in Vermont?
Well, I grew up in a town, but I actually think Wisconsin's a lot like Vermont. It's, you know, we have the same kind of exports. Cheese.
So very cow-intensive.
Exactly, cow-intensive. And the landscape does remind me of home. We've got a few more taller mountains and tinier little towns. You've got a little more sky out here.
Talk about how you found your voice as a songwriter, either your writing voice or your, you know, your literal singing voice.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question. I don't know exactly. I can't really pinpoint the second where I was like, aha. A lot of it had to do with, so the type of voice I have, you know, kind of a alto, dusty, crackly voice, and love the lower sounds. I got this guitar, this Recording King, this old, it's 1939. Like,
I was going to say, almost 80 years old.
It's just like a friend of mine at this point. I love this old guitar. Around that same time, too, I was writing songs that were pushing the envelope more for me than they had before. And I don't know, when I was a little kid, you know, you think anyone who's a singer, they must have just been wanting to do this their whole lives. I just loved singing. And I remember people would ask me when I was little, you want to be a singer when you grow up? And at that time, the only people I knew were, you know, Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston. And the way they cartwheel with their voices, the general vocal acrobatics, I mean, I was like, hell no. No way. I don't want to dance around on stage. But once I got an acoustic guitar, I think that helped me find my way. I think in college, discovering people like Gillian Welch and listening to Johnny Cash. I grew up on Tom Petty, but once I got obsessed with songs and like, and wondering, you know, when a song hits you and when it sticks to you or when it stings you, like, how does that work? You know, what made that happen? I wanna do that. Yeah, I wanna figure out how that works. And so that's this sort of many-pronged approach to finding my voice, I think, but.
So when did that guitar enter your life?
Boy, I think maybe 2012 or 13. Yeah.
How long does it go between the time you acquire a piece like that? Because that guitar had been in, I'm sure, maybe it was a single owner guitar. But
yeah, I don't know.
That guitar would have passed through the hands of at least a few people over those years. How long between the time that you get a guitar like that and it feels like a part of you?
Oh, well, I'd never had this experience before, but I walked into a music store. I didn't intend to buy an old guitar. They're kind of fussy. I use a lot of capos when I'm writing and when I'm playing live, so I was told, if you don't want to be tuning for half of your show, you might want to get a new guitar. But I lucked out with this one. And when I walked into the music store, I think a lot of friends of mine are like this, who, if you're not primarily a guitar player, or perhaps if you're a woman, guitar stores are not often your favorite hang, you know. I don't like playing while there's somebody, you know, on an electric guitar in one room over just wailing away.
You're not shredding.
It's not really
the
vibiest place to, you know, listen to your own, get your hands on a guitar. But this one, the world disappeared, and I started playing my own songs. I started playing songs that I, you know, loved. I started writing on it. I just fell in love with it. So it was mine from the minute I met it.
Wow. Love it. First strum. Well, and you know, I often ask people about their guitars, and partly because, you know, some of them just look more distinctive than others. But honestly, the match between that guitar and your voice is something that even a non-guitar player like me can tell.
That's so cool. Well, I'd played a lot of J45s, and one of my closest musical partners, Peter Bradley Adams, he had a gorgeous J45. And whenever I played it, I was like, this is a real guitar. But I think that suits more of at least his voice, or more of a man's voice, or that deeper sound. And this one's a little, I don't know, more nasally or punchy. I enjoyed singing with it. So thank you. I'm glad you think we work well together.
we should hear another song on it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. How about, so I've got this new record called Motel Bouquet. Noam Pokelny produced it. You probably know him. He's a banjo player in Nashville. He is in the band Punch Brothers. We cut this whole record in Nashville, and it just came out, is it last month? It's now a month and a few weeks ago. This song's called Motel.
In a motel with a bouquet in the ice pail, you can tell them I'm doing okay, doing real well. six strings in the morning. The rain danced on the roof last night. Moon rose without warning. Took his time crossing the sky. I could tell you about lonely roads and highway. I could warn you about the trouble and the time it takes. But California woke up this morning with a sweet refrain. Yellow sun beat on the window. The light cut straight through the blinds. It was love that broke my sorrow, like day breaks a night. Yellow sun beat on the window. The light cut straight through. It was love that broke my sorrow, like a day breaks a long night. In a motel with a bouquet in the ice pail. Can tell them I'm doing okay, doing real well.
Oh my gosh, what a great song.
Oh, thank you.
Goosebumps.
Oh, well, you know, I just was flying through Baltimore's airport,
BWI
the
yes.
other day, and I started that song in California, but I finished it. This doesn't happen for me often, on a delay in that airport. Right by this, I walked right by the escalator where I had, you know, tried to crouch down out of sight, and just I had the song in my head, and I didn't want to get it down. Felt very urgent, and that. Anyway, it was kind of cool to walk by the scene of the crime.
When you say you had to get it down, did you have to pull out your guitar, or you got out a notebook, or
yeah,
both?
Yeah, I actually got out my guitar. I don't usually make a scene, but, you know, dogs and guitars are conversation starters, and if you're trying to get a song down, the last thing you want is someone saying, well, what kind of guitar you got? You play that thing, or you just carry it around? Seriously.
It's interesting.
I get asked that question in every airport. It's a well-meaning question. It's usually someone saying like, oh, do you play that guitar? It's like, what do you think I'm doing with it? It's heavy. I don't carry this around for my well-being. I carry it around for its well-being. I don't like to check it.
Oh, I wouldn't think so. Well, and you have another guitar with you in the studio. And you know, I wonder if that guitar feels bad about how much you love this guitar.
Well, I think they sound pretty different. I'm putting down the Recording King and picking up the Kalamazoo.
This is a little smaller.
It is. It's more of a parlor guitar, but it's tuned down a full step.
Yeah.
Rings.
One of the things that I imagine that you get to do by living in Nashville, even if you are on the road so often, is you get to be part of that network that exists. And, I mean, you've obviously been doing this for a while now, but I'm curious how you know when to lean on people like the people that produce your albums. We were talking before you started, the first song you play, the last album was produced by Jeffrey Focalt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're
Wisconsin's
like,
own.
Exactly. And so, like, all these people that you rub elbows with, how do you know when to lean on them and when to kind of blaze your own trail and say, I'm going to do this like the way I envision it?
Well, so album production is it's important. Cornerstone, I guess, of your music making. It's the only time you get to glue things down to the page in a way. But it honestly, for me, only happens every 2 or 3 years. So most of my time is spent writing songs and touring them around. So recording is a really intense time. This record I just made with Noam Pekelny producing came out of me trying to find my band in a new town. I was playing, I did a couple different sessions. I did some trial runs. I was trying to find the right chemistry of players. And Noam and I had played a couple shows in town. He had joined me on a show. We were both out in Boise together. And he's just an insanely good musician. And I had been playing songs, you know, a couple of my old standbys, and what he would bring to that old standby. And I'd played that with so many wonderful musicians and had heard their ideas contributed to that song. But when I heard his ideas, I mean, he's just really a spark, you know. And so I had been recording. I had not been entirely happy with what I had ready to go. And Noam had played on that recording. And he said, well, I wanted to do one song. It's called Scattershot. It's actually what I'm going to play you. So good question. And so we went into the studio for one day to get one song. I had written a few more, and let's put a band together for one day. And it will be for an album, but, you know, might be a piece of an album rather than the full concept. Turns out that band, Noam played electric guitar. Paul Coer, also in Punch Brothers, played bass. Russ Paul, amazing pedal steel player. We had Jerry Rowe on drums, and it was in Josh Grange's studio. Stuart Duncan stopped by to play some fiddle. This one day, we got four songs. They just felt so right. The band was all Nashville neighbors, but just these folks who have their own, their icons. They have their own personality with their instruments. They're really, they have a strong voice, but they're also such supportive players. So anyway, this was like so much fun. So we booked two more days, and that's my record.
Well, I think before we hear this newer guitar, I should say, Caitlin Canty, it's been a delight. So glad to have met you, and I hope you will grace our studios again sometime down the road.
Anytime. I come here at least twice a year.
Well, it's a date.
All right. I'll be back.
All right. Tell us, we're going to hear Scattershot, right?
Yeah, Scattershot. When I moved down to Nashville, you know, I'm from the Northeast. I was having this conversation with my friend Kristen Andreas, and we wrote this together. Just a conversation, a song came out of it. And I got stuck in a rainstorm that, to me, came out of nowhere. I was sharing that story with Kristen, and she had just moved to Nashville, too. And so I won't tell the real story this came from, because it's not mine. It's a friend of hers who didn't get out of evacuation soon enough. They got out with their lives, but not with their music gear. Anyway, this one's called Scattershot from Motel Bouquet.
Dark cloud like a gun, do you stay, do you run? Barrel pointed at the heart of the plains. Green bird on the wire, smoke before the fire, dry leaves coil and a rattling chain.
Caitlin Canty's latest album is called Motel Bouquet. She was in town for a couple of concerts at Three Brothers Farm in Oconomowoc last week, and she'll play a show tomorrow night with Maya DeVitri of the Stray Birds just south of the border at Space in Evanston, Illinois. Our in-studio concert was recorded by Jason Reavy.
Taking aim with every drop.